Happy Monday. Happy Monday. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. We will be joined in a little while by Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance. They put out a lot of information about school buildings, green energy, tax policy. They took over for the people who brought you Proposition 2.5, Citizens Against for Limited Taxation and Government. Barbara Anderson, who died a few years ago, who was a great mentor to me, supported me politically, even when she knew I was going to lose, right? Which I remember her telling me, we maxed out to you, Chris, even though we knew you were going to lose, because we really loved your enthusiasm and your message. And that was back in the 90s. So anyway, Paul Craney and the folks at Mass Fiscal Alliance took over from Citizens for Limited Taxation as the guardians of the taxpayer. So that'll be really good. We'll have them here at in a few minutes. So what did you think of Sean Oliver and what he had to say? Again, guys, I've been telling you this for years. Sean came in with this program that, look, it's not about what the tax rate is, what the shift is. It's about what we spend. It's about what the city spends. And there are things you have to spend on, right? You have to spend on healthcare. You have to spend on public safety. You have to spend on education. Although, quite frankly, as Sean alluded to, the state of Massachusetts pays most of your education bill for a variety of reasons. That's how the formula works. And so he's sensitive to the fact that if you mess with that formula, you could end up being the loser, right? Because they give you so much for your schools now. I know that some in your delegation have, if they haven't told him that, they've told me that, all right? So it is a delicate situation. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, Chris, I just wanted to mention something a little offbeat. I had an experience at Mack Auto last week that I wanted to let you and your listeners know that it was a very nice experience.
Oh, good.
And as soon as I mentioned your name, they went right immediately to my bill, took money off of my bill, over $150. It was an expensive bill, but I just wanted to let you and your listeners know that I appreciate the fact that you mentioned them on the radio.
Hey, thank you very much. That's great to hear. That's great feedback. I appreciate that, sir.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for that call. If you do mention WBSM or my name, Michael Rock, you will get 10% off your bill. And really, that can help out any time of the year, right? But certainly now. I do appreciate that, gentlemen. I love hearing, you know, that the people that I mention on the air that are my sponsors are doing right by my listeners. And I do welcome those sort of calls. That's really important. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue with the program here. By the way, if you're interested in fixing that cracked windshield, allow me to point you in the direction of Citywide Glass. Why Citywide Glass? Well, you don't have to go to them. They'll come to you. Citywide Glass, make an appointment with them. They're in Dartmouth. They're in Fall River. They're on the internet, citywideglass.net. They have a mobile tech team that will come right out to your work parking lot or your home and fix your windshield. They'll bill your insurance company, not you. Shouldn't cost you a penny out of your pocket to get their mobile tech team to come right to your home or your work parking lot to fix that cracked windshield. Any glass on your vehicle at all, right? Go to Citywide Glass. Give them a call in Dartmouth or Fall River. Or go to their website, citywideglass.net. Book an appointment. Get that unsightly and dangerous cracked windshield fixed. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The following is a paid advertisement from the New Bedford Police Union, who is asking for your support while they negotiate for a fair contract for better education and training programs for their officers, new police equipment and technology, and for safe police staffing levels. They can't do this alone. So please support public safety and your brave New Bedford police officers while they keep this great city safe. For more information, visit the New Bedford Police Union Facebook page or website, newbedfordpoliceunion.org.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Hear that opening? I think that NYPD Blue stole that from Bruce Springsteen. That man sitting on a little stool. Welcome back to the show. You know that opening, right? I love NYPD Blue. And you can see it on, if you have, cable or like that, what do they call those, smart TVs? And that's what I have. I didn't buy it, but that's what I have. And in other words, I didn't pick it out. I don't know anything about that stuff. But the, so if you have problems with your TV, I'm not the guy. Tim is the guy. I'm not the guy. But I watch NYPD Blue, the reruns, and the opening of that program, right? The sound, the music. I really think they stole that from Bruce Springsteen. Maybe they borrowed it. I don't know. Maybe they have a deal. I don't know. But it sounds a lot like, like Tunnel of Love by Bruce Springsteen, if you're familiar with the program, right? If you're familiar with NYPD Blue. So we're expecting a call from Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance here. Should be in a few minutes or so. And what I'm going to talk with Paul is our electric bills, our gas bills, and exactly what is the source of all the pain, right? The costs. They put out a white paper recently explaining it is the legislature. It is not the utility companies, okay? It's not the utility companies. It is the legislature. The supermajority Democrat legislature. They tried, even some Democrats recently tried to roll back the green agenda. You can read all about it in Commonwealth Magazine. But the legislature with a supermajority of Democrats is stalled on trying to strip out a lot of this Green New Deal stuff. Now listen. Mass Fiscal Alliance alerted the legislature to this when the bills were going through under Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker vetoed a lot of this Green New Deal energy policy put forward by the Democrats. Not all the Democrats, obviously. But most of them, certainly our entire legislative delegation around here. Some of them have changed, right? It was Bill Strauss. He's not there anymore. It was Bob Cazera. He's not there anymore. Governor Baker vetoed this stuff. The Democrats overrode his vetoes of all of this, making it law. So this is where we are. Our bills are skyrocketing, right? We We have, I'm sending a text message to him, Paul Craney. So the fact of the matter is that the governor got caught in a lie the other day. Tim Dunn from Boston Herald, he's a reporter up there now, used to be here, news guy for us, news director. He's now at the Boston Herald. The governor was going on and about Trump's three-month-old policies of tariffs. And how could the bills, you know, be going up when the policy's been only in place for 3 months, the tariffs on Canadian energy? So Tim Dunn asked the logical question. But as Attorney General, you blocked two pipelines, gas pipelines from coming in. Isn't that having some impact on it? And she said, well, I didn't do that. That's on video. It was caught by the Boston Herald and other media outlets. So apparently the governor, her plan is to lie, to tell us all we're crazy. Thanks to Mass Fiscal Alliance and Tim Dunn at the Boston Herald and other people. But lately it's been Tim Dunn. Consistently since Baker, it's been Mass Fiscal Alliance. And when the governor was the attorney general, locking it in with videos. 508-996-0. We've got some people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, is it me?
It's you, Sketty.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm in the hallway. I'm going to hurry up and get in my apartment. I didn't know I was going to finally get through. Chris, I just want to say I want to give Sean Oliver a big, huge shout out.
Yes.
Because my stepbrother, I know I talk about him probably. I used to talk about him a lot, and I'm talking about him again. I'm trying to get him in a place because he is, unfortunately, his weight. People, please. When you get a certain age, your legs, your heart, it's going to change. You're going to be in a bad situation. He can't make it up my steps. Otherwise, I would be his caregiver. I always tried to take care of him, but, you know,
yes.
I can't now. But Sean Oliver, what a wonderful human being. Over the weekend, I called Leo. I got Sean. Leo directed me in the direction of Sean. And what a great, for me, I love him. I just think it's amazing. He gave me the right phone numbers. I called him. Now there's this other individual. I got off the phone with Cynthia, and there's this individual, Pat Foster. Now, this is amazing. I didn't know this, and you guys, you should know this, that if you can't get out to a seminar or some kind of place where you can get knowledge on your Medicare, Medicaid,
okay.
She literally goes to people's homes. That's what she's doing today. Cynthia told me, oh, Pat's out going home to home to get the people to teach them about what plans, what they want, and let them decide what they want. That's amazing.
That is
somebody,
good.
Right? That's amazing, Chris. And in the meantime, there is a place where my brother can live. He's too young for nursing home. But he's too sick to live on his own.
Yes.
And he's in Brookline. And that place is a nursing home, but it's kind of one of the, it's a weird type of nursing home. I don't really know what it is, but it's very scary for me. I feel like, I don't think it's a good outcome for him. But anyways, I want to thank Sean Oliver for that. And, thank you for answering my call, Chris.
Okay, thanks, Getty. Appreciate
and
it.
And hey, one
yes.
more thing.
Sure.
Shane Burgo, President Burgo, he didn't come on the radio this morning. He had an appointment.
Yes.
I can't imagine if it was medical, whatever. You know, there is a way to pre-record your messages. Like, he could have called Tim and said, hey, you know what? Let's pre-record this. He could have told him that on Friday.
Well, he's no Sean Oliver, you know.
So Shane Burgo
yes.
Could have done that. Because here's the thing that was going to come up in the conversation today. Was the taxes.
Right.
Now, Shane Burgo said on Friday, he said he was going to raise commercial taxes, not property taxes. So that's a lie.
Well, there's a reason, and thanks for the call, Sketty, as always, and we wish your brother well. There's a reason he dropped so much in the at-large race. You know, there is a reason for that. And again, people have appointments. It's Monday. Certainly there's some days that I'm not here, and, you know, for medical appointments. I don't know what Shane had to do. I think Tim did say it was a medical appointment. And we hope the city council president, whose term is coming to an end, will do all right. It'll be interesting to see who the next city council president is. I can't imagine that Shane Burgo would even try to be again. After the spotlight was put on him, he dropped a lot of spots in the at-large race, to the point where a brand new guy, a challenger, rocketed over him, running on basically the same positions, but I'm just not Shane, right? In other words, James Roy shares a lot of the same positions as Shane Burgo, but I doubt if he'll be a Shane Denister. I doubt if he'll fall under the umbrella of Shane and making him a Shane Denister. We'll see, though. We'll see what happens there in the city council. So I texted Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance, reminding him that he'd agreed just yesterday to an appointment. Hopefully we can rebook him, or you know, whatever's going on in his world. You know, will not stop him in the future from coming on. Should I invite him? But they do have a hell of a white paper, and they have done a lot of work on explaining it's not the power companies, it's the legislature who put all these green mandates. That means our reps and our senators on our electric bills. So they laundered their Green New Deal policies through our electric and gas bills. You know, that's what happened. It's a tax levied through our electric bills. And that's Tony Cabral. That's all of them, really. Now, will anybody run for the legislature and bring it up? Right? Will anybody run and go door to door explaining, this is how Tony Cabral voted, this is how Chris Markey voted, this is how Mark Sylvia voted, or how the policies Mark Sylvia pushed when he was in the executive branch of Deval Patrick as an energy secretary, was Steve Ouellette, as an example. What's he doing about this? Westport wants to know. Acushnet wants to know. Freetown wants to know what Steve Ouellette is doing about their gas bills, about their electric bills. Certainly the north end of New Bedford wants to know. You know what else you want to know about? Shooting supply. Shooting supplies. Black Friday sale is too big to fit into just one day. That's a whole lot of guns. That's right. Shooting supply. They're having a Black Friday sale, and it's happening all week long, right out there on State Road in Westport. There's new items added every day with super-duper specials for Black Friday and Black Saturday. All right? Check out shootingsupply.com every single day for the latest deals. Smith & Wesson guns starting at just $399. How about a 12-gauge shotgun for only $149? 9mm pistols, just $349. Plus, huge savings on ammunition. What good's a gun without ammo, right? You need ammo. You're not going to just throw the gun at the assailant. You need to shoot them, should they require it. Don't miss out. Go to shootingsupply.com. It has all the best deals happening now. And by the way, if you're like, I can't get in on that, Chris, because I don't have a gun license, go to Shooting Supply on State Road in Westport, walk in the door and say, I need a gun license. They'll get you to work. They'll get you to work right away and give you the education you need to get a gun license. Go to Shooting Supply in Westport, right? They really do a marvelous job. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more care.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
When I hopped in my old Ford, hit the engine, but she ain't turning. Giving each other some hard lessons lately, we ain't learning. Same sad story, that's a fact. One step up and two steps back.
There is Bruce Springsteen quoting Lennon, whether he knows it or not. We're learning some hard lessons lately, right? Here in Massachusetts, about our utility bills. Maybe we shouldn't re-elect and keep re-electing the same people over and over again. Right, that's how we got here. And we're now joined by Paul Craney from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. I recommend all of you to check him out. Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, Mass Fiscal. They took over for Barbara Anderson and the Great Americans at Citizens for Limited Taxation as the guardians of me and you, the taxpayers. Whether it's the auto excise tax, the attempted new candy tax, or these outrageous utility bills that we're paying, and certainly Proposition 2.5, the preservation of that key law. We're now joined by Paul Craney. Talk about the white paper that his organization recently produced on electrical and gas rates. Good morning, Paul. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, and thank you for having me on, Chris, and I apologize for the scheduling snafu. That's completely my fault.
No problem, Paul. No problem at all. So, explain this white paper and why, you know, people are very angry with the utility companies because that's who sends them the bill, but they, in fact, are not the culprits. Talk about that, Paul.
Absolutely. So the Fiscal Alliance Foundation, our 501c nonprofit organization, published a white paper. It has historically published studies on energy issues, which the left call climate issues. But New England, including Massachusetts, is all on the same exact grid, which means every time Massachusetts does something costly, it impacts other five states. On the flip side, every time New Hampshire does something beneficial, it benefits us. So think of one big swimming pool, if you will. The Fiscal Alliance Foundation published a white paper in response to Governor Healey's recent energy bill. She proposed it in late spring, and she said one of the quickest ways and the most inexpensive ways to bring new energy onto the grid is to build out more solar. And we saw that, and we said that's just not true. Solar actually contributes a lot to the cost of energy in New England and in Massachusetts. So for electric utility prices, so not your natural gas, not your oil, but just think electric costs in Massachusetts. We looked at the last 10 years of our utility bills, and this is going back from 2014 to 2025, so roughly 10 years. It's actually a little bit longer. And we found that on average, the utility bill for electric costs are going up 5.5% every year. 5.5% every year. Mm-hmm. The rate of inflation is 2.9%, so slightly above the rate of inflation. However, when we broke down the cost of the electric bill, we found that the policy charges that are put in your electric bill, so this is not the cost of producing electricity and bringing it to you, but this is the cost added by the legislature and by the governor. These are the costs that we've been harping against for quite some while. When you hear us talk about the net zero by 2050 mandate, this is what we're talking about along with some other similar net zero mandates. But the cost of the policies in your electric bill have gone up 13.1% every year. 13.1% every year. In the year 2014, on average, the average electric ratepayer was paying $15 per month. That has gone up now to $59 per month. So that is what's driving these huge increases in our electric bills. And our study wanted to respond, our white paper wanted to respond to the governor's call for building out more solar energy, because solar is one of those green energy sources that has a lot of mandates associated with it. It's very expensive to produce more solar. So the end of the white paper basically calls on the legislature and the governor to bring about more transparency for these very expensive energy sources and for these mandates. And what I mean by that is because our white paper looked at, you know, if you care about CO2 reductions, which, you know, you can have a whole debate on a different show for that.
Yes.
But if you care about that, our white paper shows what has been driving down CO2 reductions the last 10, 11 years is getting rid of the coal power plants in New England and transitioning to natural gas and some federal regulations. But it's actually not these other things, these climate mandates. They're not driving down CO2, and they're not doing it in a way that's economical for the ratepayers.
We're speaking with Paul Craney. Paul is the executive director of Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, and they have a white paper on why you're getting these electric bills and these gas bills, and that it's not the power companies, it is the legislature. In other words, we have voted for this and could reelect the same people that caused these high electric bills. People could vote their way out of this, couldn't they, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest thing, you know, we get asked about is, like, how do you tackle this issue? Mm-hmm. And really, it's quite simple, in fact. The reason why we have these bills increasing so much and a lot of the kind of common sense decision-making being put on hold in pursuit of these kind of wacky ideas is because the Massachusetts legislature and the governor passed into law something called the Net Zero Mandate by 2050. For a long time, it was simply a goal. And goals can be good. Goals are aspirational. These are things you know, just like in your personal life, you aspire for.
Right.
But when you make a goal into a mandate, it changes everything. Because now the mandate is the front and center. Mm-hmm. It's not cost concerns. It's not common sense. Give you quick examples. Sometimes you hear and you see that in Massachusetts, they're cutting down forests to put solar fields in. Or the offshore wind proposal off of Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, where clearly there's a huge environmental impact. Yes. Blades are falling off. Blades are catching on fire. There's no real cleanup. And you look at these decisions and you say, why is this happening? It's like, I feel like the common sense has been thrown out the door. And it's because the Net Zero by 2050 mandate is there. And that takes priority, not cost and not common sense. So the best thing that can really happen is that the legislature and the governor just basically say, hey, we're going to do this net zero mandate, but instead of a mandate, make it into a goal. And a goal gives a lot more carrot than a stick. And the other thing about the goal is if environmental climate groups sue the state of Massachusetts because we're not hitting our mandate, the state isn't obligated to, you know, do these harmful mandates. And that's what's been happening recently, is these kind of really extreme climate organizations are just suing jurisdictions saying, hey, you're not hitting these mandates, therefore we're going to sue you. In fact, a lot of the people in the Healey administration were doing that before when they were in the private sector. So it's kind of funny that, you know, quote, the regulators not that long ago were the activists suing the state. It makes you really question what's going on with our state. But that's the biggest thing, is this net zero by 2050 mandate has to be turned back into a goal, because that will give a lot more flexibility for the state when it's trying to achieve, you know, at sometimes completely unattainable metrics.
We have Paul Craney from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance here on talking about the white paper that was put out by the groups that he's involved with on the cost of utilities. Paul, the other day, Tim Dunn, who's the reporter now at the Boston Herald, just came on over there as the top political reporter. Before that, he was here as the news director at WBSM a couple of jobs ago. He caught the governor literally in a lie. You guys have put out a video, I've used a lot of them here, on the fact that the governor, as attorney general, killed two gas pipelines coming in. She literally denied it's caught on video to Tim Dunn at the Boston Herald. Talk about the fact that when she was the attorney general, she killed those pipelines and why that's so important.
Yeah, that's quite a fabrication on the governor's part. I mean, anyone that's been paying attention for 8 years as attorney general and 3 years as governor, there's been one thing consistent with Governor Healey, is that she fully endorses the net zero by 2050 mandate. And as attorney general, she spent 8 years stopping any type of buildup of natural gas in Massachusetts. So this is just, you know, fixing pipeline, expanding pipeline, and bringing new natural gas into the region. And that was one of the things she campaigned so vigorously on in the Democrat primary, and also running for governor. And so there's a lot of video out there of her talking about this, not kind of in an obscure, soft voice, but more of like, you know, look what I did for, you know, for the climate activists in the Democrat primary. She talks about this all the time. And it's only up until recently when some of these mandates cannot work and when these mandates are just starting. I mean, we're really in the beginning stages, just starting to turn the screws on people. And where now she's just basically saying, I didn't stop these pipelines. And it's kind of funny because it's such a bold-faced lie. I mean, no one that has the internet should ever believe that, because you can clearly see, like I said, for 13 years now, she's been advocating for this.
Paul, she loves to talk during her campaign. She loves to use a basketball, talk about basketball. She was dunking on the public, saying, I stopped those gas lines, bragging about it. You can see it, Paul, as you pointed out. She's not saying it quietly. She's dunking on that premise. And now that the effects literally is coming to people's checkbooks, she's trying to walk away from it. Gaslight us, if you will.
Oh, yeah, we're going to run out of natural gas just because all the gaslighting going on with the governor. It's really bad. But even her people in her administration, her Secretary of Energy, a lot of these people that are in positions of power, I mean, even these folks were in the private sector suing the state of Massachusetts to try to stop these natural gas pipelines. And Governor Healey was working with them. So, I mean, if it was a crime scene, her fingerprints are all over it. And I can't believe anyone would believe this at this point in the game. And also, frankly, you know, if she actually did believe that, you know, an all of the above approach on energy, or that she didn't stop these pipelines, then why doesn't she come out and just say the net zero by 2050 mandate should be turned into a goal? That's all she has to do. And she has to endorse that idea and get some support in the legislature, because that's the quickest way to fix a lot of these problems.
We're speaking with Paul Craney from the Mass Fiscal Alliance, Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. Paul, but can we trust her? In other words, if she could very well say that and get reelected for another 4 years and put the hammer down and go really hardcore, I don't think we can give her another 4 years. I don't know if you take political stances or not, but what are your thoughts there?
I completely agree. I am very worried if she wins another re-election that all this kind of soft rhetoric will turn into hard rhetoric for her next 4 years, that she's going to double down and fast-track as much of these climate mandates as possible, because she'll be a lame duck governor. I mean, if history repeats itself, that's what she would be doing, just like she did 8 years as AG and 3 years so far as governor. So I'm definitely worried about that. But I am happy and optimistic that people now are starting to tune into this issue.
Yes.
For a long time, we've been talking about these climate mandates. No one seemed to really care that much, to be all honest.
Yes.
And then people just started to care when all of a sudden they noticed their utility bill is just exploding by 30% within a few months. And they're asking why. And it's not the utility's fault. It's the policies that are baked into the utility bills. Think of it like this.
Yes.
Chris, we are feeling the screw, but someone is turning the screwdriver.
Yes.
The utility companies are the screw. The climate policies are the screw. The utility companies are the screwdriver, and the governor is the one that's turning the screwdriver.
Yes.
So, you know, we can't be blaming the utility companies. We have to figure out why are they doing this. And they're just doing this because laws are getting passed that are mandating them to collect revenue, you know, from their ratepayers. And that's exactly what's happening in Massachusetts. And, you know, as taxpayers and ratepayers, I encourage your audience to check out massfiscal.org, massfiscal.org. We have call to actions there, and that's how the public can have their voice heard. You spend about a minute on massfiscal.org, and you can contact the governor and your legislators, telling them that you oppose some of these mandates, that you oppose some of these tax hikes that are getting proposed. And these lawmakers are very responsive to their constituents. When they get, you know, 10, 15, 20 emails about these topics, they definitely pay attention.
They do.
Sometimes it's hard to change their mind. You know, they're still going to be believers of higher taxes and these climate mandates. But what they may end up doing is just saying, hey, now is not the time to do this. And that's really, you know, that's a victory in Massachusetts when you get these kind of these activists that are in the legislature to back off of their aspirations.
There is certainly, I mean, this is what democracy is all about, information and going back to your legislators and giving them your opinion, or not giving them your vote, right? Give them your opinion. That's the fair way to do it. But if they don't respond to it, do not give them your vote. I don't care what your parents have been doing for decades or what you'd been doing for decades. You're feeling it now. Look, I admitted before I voted for Maura Healey. As a lifelong Republican, I voted for her because I thought she had the better resume, and I was tricked, you know. We have Paul Craney from the Mass Fiscal Alliance. Paul, the other issue that really matters to us here is taxes. You guys have been fighting for years to preserve Prop 2.5, to prevent the increase in the auto excise tax. Can you talk a few minutes about what the governor is trying to do to the auto excise tax here with the local localities?
Oh, absolutely. So when Governor Healey was first sworn into office 3 years ago, during the first legislative session, which is a two-year term, so she gets two legislative sessions, in her first one, she proposed a bill which would allow local towns and cities to increase the hotel motel tax, to increase the takeout food tax, basically, when you go to get takeout food. And the last thing is she would allow the local towns and cities to triple the vehicle excise tax. And if you think about it, that vehicle excise tax, you know, you pay income taxes, you save your money, then you pay a sales tax when you purchase a vehicle. And in Massachusetts, you just pay another tax, a vehicle excise tax, for the purpose of just owning a vehicle. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, that vehicle, you're paying three taxes on it: income tax, sales tax, and then that vehicle excise tax. Governor Healey wants to allow basically a tax on a tax. If your vehicle, I'm just putting out a round number, but if your vehicle is assessed, valued at $10,000, let's say, you're paying $275 per year for that vehicle excise tax. Under the governor's plan, a town and city could triple it to $750 a year. $750 a year if your vehicle's worth $10,000. Now, if you're a small business, and let's say you have, you know, some heavy equipment, you could have a bunch of, let's say, F-150s that deliver things, you know, some bigger freight trucks, or you got excavation vehicles, you name it. Just think of, like, vehicles with businesses.
Think of the Stop and Shop warehouse in Freetown. Yeah, think of the Stop and Shop warehouse in Freetown as an example, and how that's all going to translate into higher grocery prices. But, you know, Paul, we're speaking with Paul Craney from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. Paul, the other part that made that bill so insidious to me, she was going to make it easier for people to have their driver's licenses suspended for not paying, which is the penalty for not paying your auto excise tax. She was going to expedite that process by passing that bill, which gives her like a King John type, you know, Robin Hood, from Robin Hood type of a real persona, right? Going to take people's driver's licenses if they can't afford the tax.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yes.
That's interesting. I have to look into that.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. So
expedite
but your
that
audience,
process.
If you want to push back on the governor's local options tax, we defeated it 2 years ago, and it's definitely popular right now because if you think of a town and city, they are getting hit with so many climate mandates.
Yes.
New construction projects all have to be net zero. The vehicles have to be basically net zero EV vehicles. These local towns and cities, they're not immune to these climate mandates. So they're getting hit with some pretty big bills. Even their utility bills are getting more expensive, too.
Sure.
And then the governor and the legislature has also been decreasing local aid. It's decreased 25% in the last decade. And we're now below the national average for local aid in Massachusetts. So you got, on one hand, towns and cities getting whacked with these climate mandates. On the second hand, you have local aid getting diminished, even when we're having record budget budgets every year, meaning the budget is increasing every year on the state level, but the local aid is decreasing. And what does Governor Healey do? Instead of reprioritizing how she spends money on the state level to give more money back to towns and cities, she says, you can just raise taxes on your people even more. You can just raise them even more. It's a really bad set of priorities at the State House. The governor's not leading. This is not leadership. Anyone can just say, we're going to spend more and more and tax more and more. Anyone can do that. That's not hard to do. The hard part is saying, I have so much money. How do I make this stretch? How do I say no to some groups and yes to others?
Right.
Instead, she's saying yes to any group that is an advocacy group in front of the State House, and she's saying no to towns and cities. Say, you can figure it out yourself. Go raise more money from your people. And the good thing is we defeated this 2 years ago. If your audience checks out massfiscal.org,
yes.
M-A-S-S fiscal, you could take a call to action and say no to this local options tax. When you're done doing that, send that link to your friends and family, who are kind of like-minded, so they can also say no to this local options tax. And the last thing I would say is post it on your social media pages. People are very active on social media.
Yes.
If you have Facebook, post the link there so that friends and family could see it, and they can have their voice heard at the State House too. This is the only way we defeat these really bad ideas, when people speak up and they're heard at the State House.
And folks, obviously, you're hearing this, Paul Craney, they've got expenses up there. If you want to give a donation to Mass Fiscal, I recommend that as well. What's the website one more time, Paul?
MassFiscal.org, M-A-S-S, Fiscal.org.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul. I hope we can get you back again soon to give more education to my audience. They really appreciate it.
Thank you. And again, I'm sorry for being late.
No problem, Paul. No problem. We don't take attendance here. No problem, Paul. Paul Craney from Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. We can take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. If you want to go racing in the street, well, you really probably shouldn't go racing in the streets these days, not with all those cameras out there. But if you want to have your car run like it could win a race, bring it to Mac Auto Sales, 188 Rivet Street in the great city of New Bedford. Mac Auto Sales repairs all makes and models of automobiles, and they also winterize vehicles, right? So if you need to get your car ready for the coming cold weather, call Mac Auto Sales and make an appointment, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. Remember, if you mention you heard this at WBSM, you go there, they'll take 10% off the bill. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mac Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale at Mac Auto Sales. I want to thank Paul Craney again, guys. I want to give you the best education possible. I know a lot of you are busy, and a lot of you wonder, why is my electric bill this high, right? You probably, at least the last couple of years, have run around the house telling the kids, turn the lights. I remember my house, turn the lights down, don't touch the thermostat. I can't even imagine what the McCarthy household would be like today with three boys and my parents trying to pay these bills, right? Turning off unused lights, right? I mean, that's a good policy. But today's bill, that could bankrupt a family. And guys, it's our legislators that did it to us. Now, all of them have their own voting records, so you know, give them their due to let them explain it to you. But I don't think any of them have clean hands. They certainly have an opportunity to make them clean, but many of them ignored Paul Craney and Mass Fiscal when they told them, asked them not to override Charlie Baker.